Noah believed that the flood was coming, but he believed in something else too, life after the flood. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Noah is one of two men of faith we'll look at today. The other is Father Abraham. His inner eyes saw even farther beyond his own lifetime and even past us. Noah was just trying to find a patch of dry dirt. Abraham was looking for a heavenly city. Here's Jim to open with prayer.
Oh, Father, we thank you that tonight our high priest himself, the Lord Jesus, sits at your right hand, and your word tells us that you told him to sit until I make your enemies your footstool. We read in the pages of this book of Hebrews that that's what he's doing. He's waiting until that moment when your perfect timing unleashes the angelic hosts of heaven and the omnipotent power and strength and righteous judgment of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he will rise and he will rule. Just to think that in some way we're going to be with him and we're going to rule and reign with him. Then we get to heaven. We're not guests. We're sons. We're family. We belong to the great King. We're the children of his Father. And all that he has, and all that he created, and all that he may create in the days and eons ahead will be an extension of his loving grace and his perfect imagination. Thank you. Thank you for this incredible promise. Show us how it moved the hearts of those who saw when the vision was more dim, believed when there was greater distance between them and this incredible promise being fulfilled. Encourage us by lessons we should learn from their examples. And most of all, remind us, O Father, remind us that this is all true because faithful is the one who promised, you will do it. So as we open the pages of your word and our heart to those pages, by your Spirit, connect them and fill us with your joy and with your confidence and your wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you for all the wonderful gifts that you give, for your prayers, for Right Start. It's exciting to read and to meet people who are on the other end, who are on the listening end. It's just amazing. This past Sunday, we were up in Marion and got to meet a lady who remembers when Right Start first started on the radio. And she was there and she listened, and she could tell me specific things that I said. Some of them I wish she hadn't remembered, but she did. She remembered. Great, great appreciation. Young man, this past week I met, and he told me of the value of the Right Start experience through radio to him in his developing a handle upon God's Word, developing messages, feeding the flock, and encouraging his people to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So your investments, I trust, will pay rich dividends for eternity, and I trust that that you feel vested, that this is your ministry, that we are partners together in all of this. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I want to read two verses, and I want to flip back to chapter 1. Look at Hebrews, chapter 11 with me, please. Hebrews, chapter 11. I want you to go all the way down to verse 13. These all died in faith, Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith without having received the promises. But they saw them from a distance, greeted or welcomed them, embraced them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents, vagabonds on the earth. Now, those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been remembering that land from which they came, they would have had opportunity to return. But they now, verse 16, but they now aspire to a better land, a heavenly land. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That is a fantastic paragraph. It summarizes what the author is having us understand from the lives of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. He has pointed out in the preceding verses, preceding 12 verses of chapter 11, how each of these individuals energized, motivated by faith, guided by what faith taught them, not what reason made sense to them, but by what they understood, their worldview, their view of life, their view of death, their view of value was all shaped on the basis of faith. Faith is the confidence or the certainty that when God speaks, it's finished. It's take that to the bank. And if what God says can be trusted with that level of confidence, then how should I respond? What should I do? How should that affect my life? And so every one of these five heroes we've met in chapter 11 were strangers. They did strange things, unusual things. And they did it because their minds and their plans were informed by confidence. Confidence. Confidence in what? Confidence in God. Confidence in God. Let me illustrate that by going back to verse 7. Noah, see that, verse 7? Noah, after being warned about what was not yet seen, in reverence built an ark to deliver his family. By this he condemned the world, became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. He was warned about things that were not yet seen. Those things had to do with a global flood. A flood of such proportion that God instructed Noah to build an ark, a huge boat, actually a huge raft, a huge big, it wasn't a boat, didn't have an engine, didn't have a sail, thank you, yeah. Didn't have any engine, any power on board, didn't have a compass, didn't have a rudder, didn't have any, just a huge big barge. And it was huge. Now think. Now think about that. Why would Noah do that? Anti-scientific, anti-popular, why would he do that? Well, two things that he couldn't prove, he believed. Here's the first one. That the God who made the heavens and the earth and all in them was very capable to rearrange them in any pattern he chose. You see that? Don't let that slip by. Noah didn't just get up one day and say, okay, God, go and build an ark, that's fine. Noah's building the ark demonstrated confidence that God could indeed create a flood of water so huge that it would blanket the whole earth with levels of water that required finding lots and lots of water someplace that wasn't on the earth at that time. And then secondly, here's the other thing, secondly, Noah had to believe that the God who could create that kind of flood could keep him safe with his family in that ark through the flood and come out at the end of the flood into a new earth. Those are not small items, folks. Remember, he had packed on board a whole bunch of animals. And remember, he didn't go looking for them. It wasn't a safari. The animals came to Noah. Noah just dropped the ramp. Up the ramp they went. He had spent years, weeks, months, putting all kinds of food and stuff in there for them. God had told him to do that. Well, that was certainly anticipating an end to the flood, a flood of such dimensions that no one else on the earth's surface who breathes in oxygen was going to make it. But the God who told Noah, build the ark, not only could control the elements to create the flood, but he could control the elements that affected the ark. Matter of fact, Moses tells us in the book of Genesis, that's a very important thing. He pauses in his description of all that deluge, and he says, God remembered Noah and his family in the ark. What does that mean? That means that when Noah went into that ark, he knew it wasn't going to be his coffin. It wasn't going to be his tomb. He knew that whatever God was going to unleash would have an end. There was a future step. There was a place out there on the other end of that flood experience, and the ark was God's chosen means to take Noah through it. How, he had no idea. But God, who promised the flood, also promised the rainbow. Get my point? Now that was an absolutely blood-curdling worldview. So what's your worldview? I'm sure the folks out there that raise grapes and make the best wine in Northern Ohio or Northern California, I'm sure this morning they probably have a little different view about the power of nature. My sweetie and I were watching a program down there on TV. They were talking about sinkholes,
yeah,
in Florida. How many hundreds of sinkholes just suddenly appear? You sure you won't go back to Florida this year?
No, no.
You sure? Are you sure? She's a braver man than I am. No, we don't think a thing about it, do we? We get down there. Of course, she knows that if she gets caught in one of those, her future's secure. She knows that. She doesn't worry about that. But here's my point. People don't think about those things when they move to Florida. And people who sell them land in Florida can't predict those things. They're talking about one down here at Athens in Ohio. What's going to happen? Doom! Suddenly, a great cavern is going to open up, and everything that was on the ground above it that seemed solid is going to go down that cavern. Boom! What are you going to do to stop it? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing you can do. You can watch it, or if you don't happen to be at the right place at the right time with the right camera, it can take place without anybody asking your permission. Now that's God. Listen to me. That's God. God is in control of his nature. He better be, or we are in a world of hurt. Now, Noah had that kind of faith. That's the kind of faith that led to building the ark. If it was a faith that said, God can do it, he made it in the first place, he can rearrange it any way he wants to, and that's exactly what God did. And when God was finished with the flood, the earth and the water and the clouds and the sky had been all rearranged into new patterns. And when Noah took his wife and his family on board the ark with all the animals, Noah had the confidence, this is not my tomb. This is my bridge to my future. Amazing what faith, what understanding faith can give. Well, we meet this man, Abraham, and look at verse 8. Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, went out to a place he was going to receive his inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was. That makes no sense. That's the poorest planning you could possibly humanly make. He's called to go to a place. He doesn't know where it is. He's going out to it. He won't recognize it until he gets there. How's he going to find it? He's just supposed to go. And God will lead him and direct him and keep him there. That's amazing faith. Would you be willing to do that? Pick up everything or leave everything and just go? Abraham heard God's voice when he was called. He didn't imagine and create this. This was an act of obedience. It was a response to God saying to Abraham, Abraham, I've planned for your life. In order to fulfill that plan, you got to leave family, everything that's familiar, and you got to go to a land, place, it's new, strange, different. And Abraham, I'm not going to give you a map. You're just going to have to follow me. I'll take you there. I'll get you there. When you're there, I'll tell you you're there. It's exactly what happened. Well, that's what it says that happened. Not knowing where he was going, look at verse 9. By faith he stayed in that land as a foreigner in the land of promise. That means the land that God had promised to him. Living in his tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. Verse 10. He was looking forward to the city. Looking forward to the city that has foundations. He was living in a tent outside the cities in this new land of Canaan where God took him. And he's looking for, it says he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. When Abraham left Ur the Chaldees, he wasn't headed for Hebron. He was going to go to Hebron on a journey that wouldn't end at Hebron. What was he looking for? He was looking for the fulfillment of a promise God had made to him, and that promise somehow, and don't ask me how, he knew this, but Abraham knew that God had built a city. The idea of foundations means permanence. It means he wasn't going to be nomadic. Just as Noah believed there would be an earth after the flood, where he and the animals and his family would be led by God and blessed by God, Abraham believed that the call of God upon his life reached beyond Hebron, Beersheba. What excited that? What was it? I don't know. You don't know. But it's all wrapped up in this word faith. It means that Abraham was looking beyond Isaac. Abraham was looking beyond Keturah. And what, 7 sons he had with Keturah after Sarah died? He was looking beyond. Abraham was willing to live in tents, but the tents were not his final home. Did he obey God? Yes. Did God keep his promise? Yes. Did God fulfill all of the promise he made to Abraham? No. There was more to God's promise to Abraham, more that Abraham was believing God for, than he found in Beersheba, Hebron. That was where his faith was fastened. Maybe by next week you can find an answer to the question, where in the record of Genesis is there any clue that would tell us what it was that made Abraham look for a city whose foundations were secure and whose builder and maker, the architect, the designer and builder was God? Abraham was looking for a God-designed, God-built, God-made city where he expected to live. Are you? Yeah, but we have copious promises, don't we? How many verses in the New Testament tell us that we, as the children of God, are headed to an incredible home? Matter of fact, stick your finger here and flip back. You can see a picture of it here in Revelation, the last 2 chapters. It's called the City Four Square, and it has foundations, and It is so important, so important. This part of God's revelation is so important, so climatic, that look what God does. In Revelation chapter 1, John, he saw the heavens and earth burn up. In chapter 21, he sees a new heaven and new earth, first heaven, first earth pass away, the sea no longer existed. John sees the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared like a bride. And you can read the rest of it. Now that is so important. Look what happens at verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came and spoke to me. Come, John, I want to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. He then carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And you go on and read. Go on and read the rest of it. Almost the rest of the book of Revelation is all this private interview John gets. John gets to go walk the streets of gold. John gets to go and listen to the gushing waters of that pure river of life that flows out. He got to smell the fragrance of the tree of life with its various fruits for various seasons. And God wanted to be sure that you and I, who received this marvelous book called the Bible, that we had a concrete, exact, specific description, identity of that city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God, that Abraham anticipated. Abraham, 2,000 years before Christ. Abraham. For 4,000 years, that city has been in heaven, where it is tonight. And someday, John tells us, it's going to leave that place in heaven, and it's going to descend and find location in relationship to a brand new earth, newer than the earth that Noah discovered at the end of the flood. Better than the earth was for Adam and Eve. An earth with no sea, no sun, no sin, no sorrow, no serpent.
Don't let anyone tell you that people in the Old Testament didn't believe in life after death. Job certainly did. Abraham did. Daniel and his friends, David and many others, testified with their lives that they aspired to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The title of Jim's sermon is Longing for a Heavenly City. If you'd like to have the sermon on CD, we'll send it to you for a donation of $7 or more. It's part of our series, God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. That's contained on 20 CDs, available for your offering of $69 or more. God's good news is earth-shaking news, liberating news, game-changing news. We can't think of anything more important than spreading that message, and that's why I ask you to consider helping us. Not everyone is called to do that, but perhaps you can pray for or give to Right Start. You can mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA, or call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And visit the website, rightstartradio.org. You can re-listen to today's broadcast or explore the audio library for previously aired shows. For future programs, hot and fresh, we can connect you to the daily podcast, and you can donate to the ministry. Just remember rightstartradio.org, rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. The writer of Hebrews delivers the shocking truth that many Old Testament believers did not receive their promises, not yet, not fully. And he invites us into that faith journey. Please join us tomorrow for the next Right Start.